I really didn't know what to label this or name this presentation because we're really not launching a product here. My partner in marketing launched it a year ago, so this product has been commercially available now in 2007, and we were coast to coast, so we figured we would review back to maybe some of the design goals and challenges we had to get from a basket harvesting situation to an onboard module builder. So we're going to just take a look at a few of the goals that we had in it. And it's hard to come afterward because, you know, Dave stole my first slide, and then Bill stole some of my information. So you saw this presentation that Dave had as well, and we all know what our operations looked like before to support that 1/6-row picker with labor, equipment, and et cetera, fuel, and somebody mentioned just blowing hydraulic holes on your bull buggy will keep a picker down for hours or half a day. So how did we get from that first slide to this slide? Well, there's certainly a lot of innovations, revelations, perspiration, all that stuff that went into it. But one of the key things that that we drove at, and this goes back a long time ago, was we set a list of design criteria, and this goes back to the early 70s, back when I was, I guess, in grade school. But anyway, my predecessor was out there with his International Harvester picker trying to figure out how to build a module builder on it. But one of the things we set forth back then was a mission statement, and it was a simple mission statement. Design an onboard module building cotton harvester that provides savings in harvest costs for the producer with no impact to the ginner. Let's do what we know best and design the harvester. We weren't ready to delve into the ginning systems and the transporting systems. If you look at the way we design things, keep it simple, stupid. Okay. Let's look at some of the criteria that that was embedded in this mission statement. Number one, ask and listen to the market. And a lot of times, you got to ask several times. And over the years, and you know, starting in the early 70s, the answers have changed several times. And you'll see that here on a subsequent slide when I kind of go into these a little more. Certainly developing a chassis to handle the onboard module building was a challenge. Not a big challenge, but a challenge. How do you configure that module chamber to build a freestanding, densely packed module builder? With the operators that we have, what type of module or what type of monitoring system are they? Will they be acceptable to them? What type of systems will they actually use? How do you get that densely packed module from 6.5 feet off the ground down to the ground in one operation intact without dropping cotton? And maintain peak picking efficiency and harvesting speeds. We sure can't go backwards. Bill mentioned that. He couldn't tell you exactly acres per hour or more acres per day, but I guarantee a Module Express 625 will pick more acres in a day than a previous 6-row basket because of two or three things: labor, module builder, bull buggy, tractor. Simple as that. And last but not least, let's optimize the existing transportation and gin infrastructure. So let's delve into a little bit of these design criteria. Ask and listen to the market. Case IH has utilized something called customer-driven product design for many years. And that's where you really get out and pull information from customers, from ginners. And of course, our customers are the ginners, the producers, the dealers, and of course, our internal customers. We need to design a machine that our plant can handle, that our plant can build, that is cost-effective, that we can support with parts, that we can support with training, the whole ball of wax. So over the years, and like I said, going back, and if you look at the video at the Case IH booth, you'll see some snippets of International Harvester concepts from 1973, and that was a 2-row at that time, a 422 cotton picker with a big round baler stuck up on back of it. Round bales were produced, wrapped in sisal, delivered to gins, and the gins were, let's say, lukewarm. This is back in the early 70s. In the mid-90s, we took a different concept, a 4x4x8 square bale. Put a large Case IH square baler on the back of a 4-row cotton harvester, went to the field, made some modules, took them to the ginners, wrapped them in poly twine. Once again, the ginners said, no, not really. That led us to, in the late 90s, settling on a concept which we're showing you today. That's building a half module on a six-row machine. I'm not going to go into all the details because I'd rather answer questions than go into all the nuts and bolts, but straight up, we wanted, the original concept was the ability to, as this chassis went down the line, per order, build it with a basket or with an onboard module chamber. Certainly that took that was some challenges in structure, horsepower, and everything like that. Flotation, wheel size, all that stuff. But basically, as Bill alluded to, we tried to follow with the chassis, which it truly isn't stretched from a previous 610 or 620, but it has been stretched over the years to give us that better configuration, more flotation, a better maneuverability. We had adopted the 9-liter Case IH engine, rated at 365 horsepower. Our fuel efficiency has been very good. We've been in under 15 gallons per hour consistently. Whether it's a basket machine, whether it's a module builder machine, we're in that ballpark. Our flotation has been very good, as the guys have said. Our front dual tires were developed exclusively for Case IH in the late 90s for our six-row pickers. They put a real nice footprint on the ground. Part of the additional weight, and we didn't add much weight. Our goal was to keep under 6,000 pounds, the total increase in the weight of this picker, and we met it. We went from a 45,000-pound basket machine to a 51,000-pound onboard module. Of course, most of that structure, most of that weight was in the back end due to the structure that builds the module builder and due to the tailgates. So we had to develop a new axle that would handle the loading, and we picked up an axle that was very similar to what you'd see on the front of a mechanically driven tractor. The module chamber itself, when you look at that picture, guys, is really no different in geometry than a standard KBH Harrell bull buggy Big 12. I mean, the walls are tapered bottom to top, and one of the things we had to do is taper them rear to front. So as that module broke loose when you were unloading it, you wouldn't get all the rubbing on the side. So as soon as it breaks away, there's no longer rubbing along the sides. The true mechanism, and I'm going to talk about this auger compactor on Friday afternoon in that session, but the auger compactor configuration is what does the work. The configuration of left and right hand flighting keeps our distribution even side to side. And sensors that tell us where that compactor is, down in the front, down in the rear, will automatically reverse the auger direction to keep you that cotton distributed within the module. You heard some numbers from Bill about module weights. We were from coast to coast, Carolina to California and the Boot Heel to Rio Grande Valley. We saw yields from 200 pounds to 2,500 pounds. We think our average module weight was in the 92 to 9,500 pounds. And that's across a lot of different field conditions. Certainly, you can unload earlier as you're finishing off a field. We've unloaded modules as low as 4,000. We've unloaded a lot above 12,000 late in the afternoon, late in the evening, and wet cotton. The feedback to the operator is critical to where we unload and offload to getting consistent modules. The yield monitor, AFS, Case IH, AFS 600, offers several different data that you can utilize. The main one we utilize is just the cumulative module weight, and that is really the best driver on deciding where and when you want to unload. We have a module monitor that monitors some of the functions of the module builder itself as far as tilt position, door open, door close, etc. And everybody's talked about cameras, and I'll tell you what, we were fighting it for the longest time because of the cost of these camera systems, but I think we were beat upon the head enough finally to realize that a camera looking into that module and a camera looking to the rear when you unload is worth every dollar you put into it. Of course, the AFS 600 also offers you other advantages, accumulating data for your yield monitor and yield data, etc. The unloading process, that was a challenge, certainly. Like I said, trying to get that module from 6.5 foot off the ground to ground level without bending, breaking, losing cotton. We have a synchronized unloading system that virtually any operator can get in there. And like Bill said, after a few unloads, you're off and going. And certainly, one of the goals we had was to match the unload time of a basket machine unloading into a bull buggy. We think we're pretty much there. We've done several timing studies where we're in the neighborhood of 70 seconds, the total cycle time, door open, unload module, door close, back to pick. And of course, we're using basically the same tarps that we have that were out there today in the industry. They're just half the length. Of course, I'm not going to gloss over this, but we had to maintain the things that a red picker has done for a lot of years: good picking efficiency, all gear drive drum. Bill mentioned automatic lubrication that lubricates all the cams, gears, bearings on a daily basis, so you don't have to with your grease gun. We're available in all row spacings, and of course we have harvest speeds up to 5 miles an hour. I'm not going to dwell on this one because we both talked about it. We wanted to optimize existing transportation and ginning infrastructure. Certainly Kenneth talked about it, Bill talked about it. We can load two modules with a module truck. Modules are fed the same way they are today at the gin. How did we do? We came through the 2007 season. We asked a lot of questions. We listened. We've got several items there that we are making improvements on going into 2008. Just some changes in module builder or module packer configuration to reduce cotton spillage. Same thing with some brushes on the unloading door to keep the cotton there. If cotton does fall off coming down the back, it will be held on the door, and when the door closes, it'll fold them back in. The automatic intelligent auger packing system is really just the control logic for the circuit, and we're always fine-tuning that as we get. And we've seen just a variety of field conditions where we've made some changes, and I think we've made some real good improvements. As we got in some muddy conditions, we realized the two-speed rear axle that we used to have on the six-row pickers was needed, so we immediately developed a two-speed hydraulic motor that drives that rear axle, and that will be a standard for 2008 as well. Moving these pickers around has always been an issue. We've developed hydraulically telescoping conveyor chutes that will allow an operator to step outside the cab, hit a button, and the conveyor chutes are down within cab height in 5 seconds. And along with that, we've improved some of the plant lifter configuration and performance as well for 2008. And this slide is just showing the telescoping chutes in a harvest mode and in a transport mode. How do we get all this feedback? Well, Kevin Richmond and the engineering group don't make personal calls to the dealers. However, we do sometimes. We have, Case IH has a very good specialized training for Module Express dealers, for training service managers, for training technicians, and also training our internal people, field technicians. Exclusive to Case IH and our dealers is a harvest support team that Bill alluded to. We started this program in 2001. It's a group of experienced cotton picker, retired engineers, retired quality control people from the plant, retired field personnel, and they make the trip to the dealer. About the same time the new picker hits a dealership, they assist with the setup, the pre-delivery, shakedown, and of course the key thing is they're there when the farmer starts, and he or she will stay as long as it takes to get it done. And what's the big push of that? Well, we got an immediate feedback. I mean, within hours of finding an issue, we may have it addressed and probably fixed in the same day. So it's something that our customers have asked for and something they won't let us take away at this point. We also have some on-farm parts where we have shipped, in this past year, we shipped a lot of the consumables, doffers, spindles, moistener pads, grease, and shipped it with these machines. And the farmer could use it as needed. And if he didn't use them, they could turn them back into the dealer at the end of the year. So I'm going to conclude just with these two pictures, and we've used this 1943 IH H10H for a lot of times, but really it was a revolution, and it made such a difference on cotton harvesting, and the next revolution is here, and it's going to make as much of a difference. And I can tell you, if you keep coming and talking to us, you'll see another revolution very soon. So. With that, I'll take some more questions.
Okay, do I have any questions?
They've all been answered by the previous guys, see?
Anyone? Oh, there we go. Andy? Okay, the question was, how do you handle the module averaging?
Well, at this point, you can identify a module however you want, whether you want to tag it, whether you want to spray on. Certainly, there are some other processes in place to identify modules and follow them from the field to a gen, which I think both of us are trying to develop at this point. But right now, utilizing your yield monitor data, you can identify them that way.
Yeah, I mean, I know, Kenneth, you use module averaging on everything, and you basically just treat that module as one entity, or do you combine the two? Yes,
go ahead.
Question back here.
Our machine comes standard with a fire unload switch in the cab, same as our basket machines are, and it will unload that module. It will shut the fan off immediately. It will begin the tilting process and the unloader chain immediately. We figure it's something that is needed on cotton pickers, and this fire and load has been on our machines now for about 10 years, and been real happy with the performance of it. You want to answer, Dave?
Okay. Just quickly, I think we at John Deere are equally concerned about fire prevention on these machines, as we are with all of our cotton harvesters. And the machines that we ran this year did not have an easy button, so to speak, whatever that would automatically. But we certainly have that in our design sites as a way to quickly unload the machine in the event of an onboard fire. I would add, though, that obviously, just as with basket pickers, machine maintenance, cleanliness, and all that is extremely important there on the module building pickers, every bit as much as it is on basket pickers.
Thanks again, Kevin.